Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063. The game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your day. I'm Chase McCabe. He's Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. What's up, JoJo?
Chase, how are you, buddy?
Well,
how's that drive in today?
Oh, good Lord, it was something. So I think I've said this before. I live out there a little bit. Not the boonies, but I guess a little bit country is what you could call it. You're a little bit rock and roll, but my road, it's very curvy and everything. And I was leaving this morning, same time I usually do. I'm driving down my driveway. I have a long driveway. And I look and I see a car sitting there. And I'm like, huh, that's odd. And then I kind of do look again. And I realize that there's a line of cars and they're not moving, not even a little bit. And so I go, huh, well, I have two choices. I can go sit in that with everybody else, or I can turn around and just go do the show from the home studio. And so that's what I elected to do. Of course, about 10 minutes ago, it all started moving. But
all right, we'll see you here in about 20 minutes.
No. Just going to do the show, and then I'll come in after.
So there was a wreck out your way this morning, I saw, and I was like, I wonder if it's going to affect Chase or not. And, of course, it affects
it
you.
Did.
And it's a thing in our city now. We've talked about this. One accident somewhere is going to back up that road and four other roads, and it just goes on and on and on. But thankfully that you're able to broadcast from the homestead.
Yeah, we, what an age we live in that we're able to do this, and I can just chill at home and do the show.
One day, within the next 20 years, you'll be able to hop in a drone. It's going to take you to work and drop you off.
I think one day we'll be like Star Trek and I can just, say, Dr. Crane, beam me up. And he'll just transport me into the station.
But what if it beams you up with no clothes on?
Spaceballs?
Something like that, yes. You're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll work from home today.
No, I don't think I'd like that very much.
All right.
I don't think my coworkers would like that very much.
We're correct on that.
There's that. The Predators back in action tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. A little bit of a late start, 8 o'clock start tonight at Bridgestone Arena. So if you get there at your normal time before a 7 o'clock game, you're going to be there. You're going to be there early, and that's okay. But just remember, it's an 8 o'clock start. We're going to have Steven Stamkos join us here in just a few minutes.
Stammer.
Stammer, yes, yeah. That is his.
Let's just start calling them all by nickname. Stammer, what's the nickname for McClain? Johnny Mac,
Mickey,
Macker.
What'd you say, Dr. Crane?
Mickey.
Okay, not on board with that one.
That's no,
your best effort there.
Going back to the drawing board.
You just completely shot that down.
Hey, we're brutally. Hey, I'm proud of you because Chase is not you, Dr. Crane. He got all excited. I'm proud of you every day, Dr. Crane, because you do an amazing job. But Chase is working from home, and he's got like the gear on, like the 102.5 shirt on, and he's like dressed to give a presentation in front of like 500. I'm proud of you. Had that been me, I might just have a ragged T-shirt on. But well done.
Well, I mean, look, I was dressed to go to work, so I was ready to go. I mean, the plan was to come in.
Well, with that Ebola, we're glad you stayed at home today.
Well, before I came on the show, I ate a bagel, and I think I had a little piece stuck. So that's what that was.
Wow, where's the bagel from? Did you make it to McDonald's?
No, I had my kitchen. I had bagels in my kitchen. I actually, as a single man, I actually do cook. So,
what's the last thing? What's the best meal you've cooked? Exactly.
No, I'm thinking
bagel bites.
The other night I did like a pasta with chicken and broccoli and mushrooms.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that was pretty good.
Proud of you. Dr. Crane, did you test this? Did you test his pasta?
I did not.
You have to go through Dr. Crane for the taste test.
Okay.
In a roast last night.
Did you?
I did.
Ooh. Was Don Rickles there?
No.
Okay.
Just me and Nani.
Well, how about we pause the food conversation and we say hello to our first guest. Steven Stamkos is on the line with us. Nashville Predators forward. They're back in action tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. Steven, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. I know that you know, Anaheim was obviously not the ending to the streak that you all wanted, but have a few days off now to kind of regroup. What has the few days off been like to help you guys just kind of get a little bit of a rest? I know you've had some practice as well.
Yeah, we got back from that trip pretty late. I think we were about 5 or 6 in the morning from that California trip, so it was nice to have a couple of days to just get back to a regular routine. Like you mentioned, a couple of practices. You know, when you're in a stretch like we've been in, there's not a lot of time to get on the ice and work on some things. So, again, like you mentioned, not the end of that trip that we wanted to. So we had a few days to straighten some things out. Looking forward to get back on the home ice tonight.
Do you feel like overall that you guys are playing to the level that you want to? I know you did have some games in there that were wins that you had to come back and you really had to battle. That shows kind of the perseverance that your team has. But overall, do you feel like things are starting to shift in the way that you want them to?
Yeah, for the most part. I think the last couple of games have slipped and in regards to that level that we want to get at consistently, whether that was – you know, the teams that we were playing. I know before we went on this little trip, we were at home. We had some really good teams come into Bridgestone, and we played really well. So if we can just get back to that, I think tonight will be a good test for us against a good Vancouver team. Obviously some history there from last year and in the playoffs and, you know, just a good quality opponent. So I think we'll be able to use these last couple of days of watching video and doing some stuff at the practice facility that we can use tonight.
So you mentioned that history that obviously you were still in Tampa. Did guys kind of tell you about that series, or do you just kind of know? You could just kind of read guys' faces that were here last year and know that, you know, things got – I mean, look, it was a fun series, but it definitely was a tough series, as you know playoff series can be.
Yeah, I think you have a general sense of it anytime you – come to a new situation. There's different rivalries and different teams that you can just sense that. I mean, I felt that in the Minnesota game last week. You know, you get that sense when you're playing Vancouver. Anytime you're with a team that has played an opponent in the playoffs a few times or recently, there's always that extra kind of hatred towards them. So, yeah, you can definitely get a sense of that. And we played them a couple times this year in Vancouver and felt it, so it should be no different here tonight.
We're talking to Steven Stamkos on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And, Steven, it's so great to have you on this morning. When you guys are clicking, when everything's going well, how good are you? How good can this team be?
Yeah, well, this team should be a playoff-caliber team, and you get into the playoffs, and you never know. So that's all you want is a chance to compete for the ultimate prize. And unfortunately, we haven't put ourselves in the best position, but there's still belief. I think we're within a range that if we can put a continued streak together, that we can be right back in this thing, you know, come the end of February, early March, where, you know, you want those games to mean something down the stretch. So we have belief in that. We know when we are playing our game, we've seen it in spurts this year. It's just about finding that consistency. And, you know, I think we're on the right path.
I think also, Steven, if you guys do get on a roll, I mean, this is going to be one hell of a comeback story, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, like I said, we can't do anything about the position that we're in right now. And It certainly would. That's the mindset that we've had. You know, we've had some tough stretches this year, especially early on. And who knows? Maybe it's one of those years where you learn those tough lessons. You go through that adversity at the beginning of the year, and it just makes you better for it. So, of course, that's the end goal. We'd love to have that type of story, and we'll work towards it.
We're talking with Steven Stamkos this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Preds back in action tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. You know, obviously we all know what Juuse Saros brings to your team and how important he is, but I've been really impressed with, I guess, are we referring to him as Big Juice in Anandan? Yeah. Since he's joined? I mean, he's been a lot of fun to watch.
He has been, and he's been a great addition. I think You know, a lot of us didn't know too much about him. You know, younger guy coming in the league and probably not playing that many games, but he's come in, he's fit in great with the group, a great young kid, and yeah, big juice. He's a big guy, and he's certainly played that way, and he's given us some confidence when he's been back there when Saros hasn't, and he's been a great pickup for us.
I asked O'Reilly this a few weeks ago when he was on the show, but you know, you and Forsberg and Ryan and then Marchessault are all kind of right there in goals with each other. Is there a steak dinner on the line of who gets that, or you guys don't really care right now?
Well, yeah, that's probably the least of our worries right now. We've got to the point where, you know, we don't care who scores as long as someone is and we're winning. And but we'll see when it gets down the stretch. I have a feeling that Phil will continue his little hot streak that he's been on and kind of lead us in that direction. But, yeah, we need everyone going. And when we're all going at the same time, that's usually when you have success as a team.
We're talking to Steven Stamkos this morning. All right, Steven, I'm always curious about this. On a game day like today, you don't play at 8 o'clock. Like, what do you do today? I mean, I know you go to practice, watch a little tape. Do you get a nap in? Do you walk the mall? I mean, what's your routine today? Because I'm not a stalker. I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, I'm at the rink right now. We'll have some video sessions. We'll get on the ice. We'll do a little morning skate. Guys will usually grab a bite to eat here at the rink. Some guys eat it here at the rink. Some guys take it home. And then, yeah, for the most part, I'd say the majority of guys try to get some sort of rest in this afternoon, whether it's a nap or just kind of relax on the couch or in bed, close your eyes for a little bit and get refocused. And then, you know, about 3-4 hours before the game, guys start rolling into the rink and get into their individual routines. And so, yeah, it's nothing too crazy, but for me, that's pretty much been the same routine for my entire career, and you just try to stick with what gets you mentally focused for the game.
Well, we appreciate you you breaking that routine a little bit to join us this morning. Good luck tonight. Let's start another streak.
Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Steven. Steven Stamkos joining us here on the program again. Back in action tonight. Max Herz will have the pregame show for you at 7, and then the puck drop with Pete Weber and Jay Moore just after 8 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. John McClain going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll have much more coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Wednesday. Some Van Halen bringing us back. Great song. Appreciate Steven Stamkos for joining us with the Preds in action tonight. Always good to catch up with him. Joe, it looks like Kellen Moore is going to be the last coach that gets hired. It seems like the Saints closing in on him.
Oh, yay, if you're a Saints fan. That sounds like a great hire.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
He called plays. Let's make him a coach. Because you call plays does not make you a good head coach. Let's get that out of the way. We have evidence. Well, Brian Callahan never called a play in his life before he got here to Tennessee. But it doesn't, you know, I mean, that's why I always go back to the John Harbaugh hire for the Ravens in 2008, because they're like, oh, he's a special teams coach. What does he know? He's only been there 17 seasons, won a Super right. Bowl and everything else. So, I don't know. I'm sorry, Saints fans. I used to be one of you until I hopped off the bandwagon many years ago. It's just going to be another rough year.
Well, and here's the interesting thing. So, that means that Mike McCarthy is going to take the year off. You know, that Big Mike, as Jared likes to refer to him as, is going to take the year off. So right now, you know, he could be in a position that he's kind of like Vrabel was, is, you know, the next coaching cycle he's going to be sought after. Because, look, I can sit here and think what I want about him and not – I didn't love him in Dallas and all that stuff, and Robbie didn't love him in Green Bay. He did win a Super Bowl. Yeah, yes, it was with Aaron Rodgers, but he still has that on his resume. And so teams are going to look at that and think that that's, you know, a good thing. The question is one of those teams going to be the Tennessee Titans? because, you know, you haven't been that high on Brian Callahan. There are a lot of others that haven't been that high on Brian Callahan going into year number two. He's going to get a chance at year number two, but I do think the pressure is going to be on. We know that this ownership, this regime doesn't have a whole lot of patience. Rand Carthon got 2 years. So if things don't show improvement, is it safe to say that Callahan would be out? And is McCarthy somebody they'd look at?
Absolutely. You go back to where you first met and where you spent time with. These guys were all Packers, like you just said. They spent time together. And, you know, this is not their head coach. I mean, it's not – you can frame it however you want, but Brian Callahan's not the one that they brought in. He's not their coach. And barring going – you know, I think you have to get to the play. You go 9-8 and don't get to the playoffs, I think he's done. I think this is a wasted year for the Tennessee Titans. I really do. Because there's nothing there foundationally wise that's going to show me you're going to improve on 3 wins. There's nothing. Hey, this real quick. I found this interesting, Chase, that the Pro Bowl guys are starting to bounce out of the Pro Bowl left and right. There's an interesting one that is not going to do the Pro Bowl. And I found, let me get your thought. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am a conspiracy theorist. It says another change in the Pro Bowl, Pittsburgh Steelers guard, whoever, is taking over for Kansas City's Trey Smith, right? Now, so Trey, I know Trey's going to play in the Super Bowl and all that stuff, but we're going to start hearing more and more about Trey Smith after the Super Bowl, things that happened. I just, for some reason, I think he's a guy right now that's number one on the radar because of who they brought in at GM. I just, for some reason, man, I think this is going to be a guy that they're going to go after immediately.
If he's not, there's a problem. Like, yes. He should be.
Yep.
I mean, if you're, you know, you come in and, you know how this works. Like, you're hiring a coach or you're hiring a GM. They come in with a list, like a wish list. You know, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, you can sit in a room. Like, you can't do this publicly because that would be tampering. But you can sit in a room behind closed doors and go, all right, you know, when you look at this offensive line, what do you think? What do you need to, you know, what do we need to do? And he's going to go, yeah, Trey Smith.
Right.
Like, if he's not, then what's wrong with him?
What's to stop Borgonzi's best friend calling Trey Smith and saying, hey, man, what are your thoughts? I mean, is there a way to stop that? Because, you know, college football coaches have burner phones.
Sure.
You know, there's that rumor that James Franklin had a burner phone in his daughter's name that he used to call. I mean, that was the rumor for a long time. So I think they'll know a lot about this going in, but I think that would be so good to bring Trey, he's developed to just a great guard in the National Football League, and just to bring him in here and plug him in at right guard, man, and then go rebuild that line is more important to me than anything else that the Titans are going to do. Rebuild that offensive line, make it one of the best in the leagues. And you can by drafting well. You got some pieces there, but you need to bring in another piece, and Trey Smith will be that guy.
We got a text from Ricky that he thinks that the Chiefs will probably franchise tag Trey Smith. There is a possibility of that they could use the tag on him, but you know, time will tell.
Thanks for ruining our topic here, Ricky.
Yeah, thanks. We'll parachute out of that. We need some parachute topics.
Is Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame? Come on.
Jordan or LeBron? What do you think coming up next?
Oh, man.
McCarthy, obviously, there is a connection there with Brinker because they were all in, you know, Green Bay at the same time. I'm going to throw a hot take at you.
Uh-oh.
You referenced John Harbaugh earlier. John Harbaugh was what before he was a head coach?
Special teams coach for the Eagles.
And the reason that, you know, a lot of people kind of thought that would work is because the special teams coach does what?
He touches every player on the team.
The Titans just hired a guy that I think is going to be a head coach. I really do. I thought he was going to be a head coach. He was an interim head coach when Fisher got fired with the Rams. I think John Fossil, is going to be a head coach. And, I mean, who's to say he's on a 2-year deal? You know, you've already kind of thrown it out there that if Callahan were to get fired midseason, he'd be the interim guy that you go to. Who's to say he doesn't get a chance?
No. When he got hired, I think the text last week was like, hey, the Titans just hired their interim coach. And we started laughing. Like, yeah.
But I think, like, if he gets that opportunity and does a good enough job, he could get the job. Oh, I mean, yeah. I think he's head coach material. I mean, I've thought that before he even got here. I like his makeup. He's had really, really good special teams. Like you said, the special teams coach touches the entire team, basically, both sides of the ball. I and you know, and it's in his DNA. Obviously, he worked for his dad and watched his dad, and you know, that doesn't always. I mean, Brian Schottenheimer's dad was you know, really, really good head coach too. That doesn't mean he's going to be a good head coach, but sometimes it does. You never know.
Well, does it? The fact that he's not gotten an opportunity scare you?
I think that even with the success that John Harbaugh has had, teams are still kind of scared of the special teams moniker.
Right.
You know, and I think that, but they shouldn't be, because if you look at the Ravens, I mean, they won a Super Bowl with him. It's obviously worked. So,
true.
You know, I mean.
Let me ask you this. Say the Vikings, right? All right. Say the Vikings are bad. And they hire a head coach. We're here listening. We're like, oh, they hired, you know, Bill Smith. And we look, well, Bill Smith's never called a play in the National Football League. Yeah, he's been a coordinator in name, but he's never called a play. Would we laugh at the Vikings? We would, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Probably.
That's what the Titans did here. That's what the Titans did. They hired a coach who had no experience calling plays. And then he gets caught up in the game, and it's like, hey, two, you know, so-and-so's fighting on the sidelines. Well, third and 10, I got to call offensive play. I don't know. Let me deal with this. I'll deal with it. I'm telling you, man, it's just there's a lot that goes in with all that. When he's never done it before.
Right. I understand. And he acknowledged that. In his postseason press conference, Callahan acknowledged that. He said, you know, somebody asked him, like, what'd you learn about being a head coach, and what do you need to change? And he said, I need to get more involved in the rest of the team, because since I'm running the offense – and calling the plays, I was, you know, very focused on that. I need to do more to know what's going on with the defense and going on with the special teams. I was impressed by that. That, okay, that takes a lot to admit that. A lot of these macho man coaches, you think Vrabel would have ever admitted that? Hell no.
He had experience being a defensive coordinator.
For 1 year.
He had experience.
Okay, but for 1 year.
That's fine. He had experience. Brian Callahan had zero experience. Would you have not brought that up at the time? Like, well, you know, what are you going to do these situations? Instead of like, he's the hottest name out there. Why is he the hottest name?
We're not going to do this again. None of these offensive guys call plays until they become head coach. That's just how the Shanahan tree, that's how it's worked. Because he was calling plays, then McVay goes to LA, he calls plays, and then all the assistants – Zach Taylor goes to Cincinnati, then he called play. And guess what?
It works so well here.
And guess what? Guess what? They all struggled in their first year.
Yeah, then they all had quarterbacks. What do you got here? What are you going to do now?
Well, you got the number one overall pick.
God, stop carrying water for this football team. That's terrible. Stop carrying water for them.
I'm not carrying water.
They made a bad choice at head coach. It was bad.
I'm not carrying water for anybody. I'm just pointing things out to you. Whether you want to listen to them or not, I don't care.
And we saw 3-14. And don't blame it on
Chuck. Yeah, they were terrible.
You think Titans fans, oh, well, we struggle. He's a first-year guy. Pat on the back. Titans fans are mad. They're mad. They're pissed off because it's terrible. And that was a terrible hire.
We spent two segments yesterday talking about me getting another team. You think I'm not mad?
I hope you are. But don't bail on your team now when, you know, we got to give this guy another chance, because we might win 5 games next year. And if we're lucky, by 2030, we might win 7 games. Yay, Titans.
Matt from
Nashville. Bad hire, bad decision, clean house. You clean house already. Why not go ahead and make the final nail? Clean house. Bring your guy in. It's not that difficult. You run the show now. You got all your buddies here. Clean house.
Matt from Nashville. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com. Not only did we hire an offensive guy who never called plays, we fired an established coach to do it. And Jonathan has referred to you as Booty, the Chase and Booty Show.
That's all right, man. Chase and Booty Show. That's a show that comes on after midnight.
Yeah, I was about to say. That's on Cinemax. Coming up next, John McClain gonna join us. We'll get his thoughts on this and much more around the NFL, including the Super Bowl being set. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday. Continuing the football conversation now with our favorite, John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, we're a little feisty today, so just get ready. How you doing?
I'm always feisty, and I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
I want to start with this. We, you know, John Fossil was hired. Bones Fossil was hired as the special teams coach for the Tennessee Titans. The news got out last week. They made it official this week, along with some of the other hires that they brought on. I have always had a very, very good, you know, thought on John Fossil. I've been very impressed with him. I thought he did a really good job with the Rams. He then took over as the interim head coach when Jeff Fisher was fired. He did a good job in Dallas, had one of the best special teams, and now he comes here. I feel like he could be a head coach in this league, and I know that's not as common, but we've seen it work in Baltimore with John Harbaugh. Do you feel the same way that John Fossil could become a head coach one day?
No. The only time it's ever worked was with Harbaugh, and one of the reasons it worked, back when Andy Reid was the coach and Andy talked once a week and he had his coordinators talk. Now, it wasn't the rules the way it is today where your three coordinators, offense, defense, special teams, have to talk once a week to the media. But he brought his special teams coach out there every week and he had the special teams talk to the media. And I've always thought that was interesting. And I asked him at a combine one time, why do you have your special teams coach? He said, because I think John Harbaugh is special, and I think he's got a chance to be a head coach, and I want to get him out front of the media so they can see just how special I believe he can be. And, of course, he was right. Dave Taub of the Chiefs, people have said that about years, but you just – and one out of the history that's just not likely on Fossil. Comes from a great background, Jim Fossil, head coach, and the Titans should just be glad they got him for special teams because he's one of the best going to a team that might have been the worst.
It looks like Kellen Moore is going to get the last head coaching job that's open with the Saints, meaning Mike McCarthy is going to sit out for a year and then look at it next year to try and get another job. If you're Brian Callahan, should you maybe be a little bit concerned about that, knowing that half your front office has connections to the Packers and to McCarthy way back when?
Well, first of all, he's not sitting out. He's been sat out.
You know? Well, fair.
He's been told he's not getting the job. So he says, I'm going to wait till 2026. Now, you never know what those guys thought about McCarthy. You know, they may not have liked him. So I think that's the farthest thing from their minds right now. You know, they're hoping that everything turns around and the Titans are improved. And it's got to start at quarterback, of course. And I do believe they will draft a quarterback because I believe when all is said and done that Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward will be among the top-rated picks. This thing about we won't pass up a generational talent. And then everybody, oh my God, they're going to take Travis. They're going to take Carter. No, why would anybody reveal their secrets? They're not stupid. And
it's so lying season.
I don't think they're lying about it because at the time they may say, well, we believe Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders is a generational talent. I hate that word because you put it on players and it almost they never live up to it. You know, what is generational? Andrew Luck was considered generational in 2012. The best prospect to come out at quarterback since John Elway in 1983. And then when Trevor Lawrence won the national championship as a freshman, he was considered generational, whether he has not been because of him, his team, the changes in the coaching staff and the front office, they have not done him any favors. So it's a hard thing to put on a player, and you don't see many position players called generational. And if you look at Travis Hunter's receivers, is he generational? No. Is he a cornerback generational? No. It's generational because he did both, and it's doubtful he's going to do both in the NFL. So they're trying to figure out what position would he be best playing, and if he's smart, he'll want to play receiver because they make a whole lot more money right now than the cornerbacks do, although they're not underpaid.
Having done this for so long, I have a feeling you have a pretty good BS meter. And, you know, working with Floyd Reese, like I did, you know, listening to some of these guys talk, like Mike Borgonzi did last week, I try and listen for certain things. And I felt like, you know, he won the press conference, but then, you know, he came on our station and he said a lot of stuff, but he really didn't say a whole lot. And I can remember walking into the combine with Floyd one time, John Robinson's first combine, and we're sitting there listening to John talk, and I look over at Floyd, and Floyd's just chuckling, just laughing. And I was like, Floyd, what's so funny? And he goes, he's been up here for 20 minutes, and he hasn't said one damn thing. And he goes, I'm proud of that. Like, I'm proud of him, because Floyd was good at that. So do you kind of pick up on that stuff, you know, when you listen to these new GMs talk, and like you said, you know, wanting to say get a generational talent and all of that, knowing that they're just going to throw stuff out there just to kind of throw people off?
That's their job. Floyd only lied when his lips moved at this time of year, and we all knew it, and he admitted it. And there was a lot of times Floyd would go, I lied. And God, I've got so many great Floyd Reed stories. If you guys have a whole 30 minutes for Floyd stories, I got some great ones. Anyway, but guys, he doesn't know what he wants to do. He hasn't looked at the roster thoroughly. He hasn't met the players. He's got so far to go. You talk in generalities, and that's the way you should do it. You got to talk a lot and say no. When Nick Caserio talks with the Texans, I have to take no those. And he goes on and on and on, and he says absolutely nothing. And then you get the transcription, and you're trying to go through it. Okay, Lang, no, not that quote. Let me see if I can use, no, can't use that quote. The only time he's been working at NAMM was his first one, when he got hired after the 2020 season, and the other one after Azeez Al-Shaair was suspended. And it was not that he was suspended. It was the way John Runyon, what he wrote about Al-Shaair, Caserio just ripped Runyon to pieces. And we're like, my God, where has that been? But generally, it's an art form, especially for a general manager, discussing prospects, to talk a lot and say absolutely nothing. And I'll predict, I don't care what anybody else says, the Titans will be drafting a quarterback.
All right, we'll have more with John McClain coming up next. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studio, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We continue our conversation with John McClain.
All right, John, I got to ask you. We're talking about offensive coordinators hiring here and there. Whatever happened to Eric Bieniemy?
Eric Bieniemy got a lot of publicity from the media, and as guy's going to be head coach. And I remember at the time Andy Reid was always saying great things about him. He should be a head coach and doing everything he could to push him. Is because Andy wanted Mike Kafka, his quarterback coach, to be the coordinator. So Bieniemy has bounced around. I know people don't like to hear this, but it's what I was told, that he didn't interview well, and he had a lot of interviews. And now he's just moving around like a pinball trying to get a job. By the way, y'all asked about Kellen Moore. I think if he goes to New Orleans, it'd be a huge mistake. That franchise doesn't have a lot of talent. They got the worst cap issues in the league. If he stayed with Philadelphia another year, you know they're going to be good. They're too loaded not to be good. And he could probably have a choice of a better job. Because sometimes you go and you jump on the first thing out there, you get fired 2 or 3 years, then you're back to being a career coordinator.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator for UCLA, an assistant head coach out there right now. John, interesting comments from Raiders owner Mark Davis yesterday, and I'm so glad we have you on there. He was talking about the John Gruden experiment, which didn't go well, and his quote was, John had a 10-year contract and all that, and his head was chopped off. Last I remember, John, didn't Gruden do this to himself?
Absolutely did it to himself. Now, I never felt sorry for him to get fired, and Barstool Sports has brought him back, and I think he's great. I love reading his stuff always and watching. Always loved it when he was on ESPN. But he sent those emails, and he's suing the league. I would love to know, under oath, who leaked those emails from Gruden to Bruce Allen during the lawsuits for Dan Snyder. Some people thought it was Snyder. Nobody knows for sure. I would love to see that come out in court. But, yes, he chopped his own head off. And you know, Al Davis, he got two ones and two twos and I think $800,000 from Tampa, but they won the Super Bowl with the Bucks, so they thought Gruden was worth it. But, you know, John Gruden has nobody to blame but himself.
Oh, I totally agree with all that, what he's done and everything. John, reaction you think coming out of the NFL office after the game Sunday night, everybody was talking about how the officials are giving the games to the Chiefs, and it's every week that they're getting these calls. Nobody else gets these calls because it's Patrick Mahomes. Does the NFL need to do some kind of PR tour to say, look, there's nothing going on here, or being quiet is the best way to do this? Because I'm telling you, John, Sunday night, that was social media was full of that stuff.
Yeah, they need to not say a word. Let the people say whatever they want. The one that bothered me the most was the Josh Allen first down, in which the official who had an open view said it was the first down. The official came from the other side who had his back to it, and he overruled him. The mistake the NFL makes is having all-star crews for the playoffs and the Super Bowl instead of having a crew that's worked together all year. That way you don't have that. And I think that's on the NFL. Have a point system for crews, not individuals, and slapping them all together. It's like if you slapped an offense together for one game, how good would that offense be? And so I think that they should go back into having the best crews are the ones that get to do the playoffs and the Super Bowl.
Talking with John McClain, so we were talking about Floyd earlier. Jared, who worked with Floyd, our afternoon show host, once wanted me to ask you, did Floyd ever admit about lying on Cody Carlson's contract?
Boy, that's a great story. I had him by the footballs. All right, I'm going to run through this story. It used to drive Floyd crazy that I would get contract terms. Back then, they didn't leak them as predominantly as they do today, and I would get them. So one time Cody Carlton signed an extension, and I wrote it, and we're standing on the sideline at training camp, and he said, hey, you had the wrong numbers in Floyd's contract today. I said, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't, Floyd. Those are contract. No, you're wrong. He said, you don't believe me. You come up to my office afterward, and I'll show you the contract. I said, okay, after I finish interviews, I'll come up there. So I did all my interviews. I may have gone to lunch. I can't remember. I went to his office. His assistant, Linda Greer, said, Floyd said, come on in, go in. Floyd opens this file, takes out the contract, lays it out for me, and he's showing me, and I'm like, damn, I messed that up. I got to correct that. He said, I told you you got the wrong numbers. So the next day, I see Linda Greer, and she said, what in the world was Floyd in such a hurry to do before you came after practice yesterday? I said, what are you talking about? She said, he came in there sweating, said he'd been running, told me to drop a contract for Cody Carlson that said this, this, and this. I said, is that right? I said, she said, well, don't get me in trouble. Leave me out of it. So I waited until I saw him at practice that afternoon. I said, by the way, Floyd, I said, I know you run every day, but you don't sprint. You think you lost any weight yesterday sprinting back to your office and having a dummy contract drawn up on Cody? He turned red, and then he just turned and walked away. And I never brought it up again, and Floyd never accused me of having wrong numbers.
But he never admitted that he never fessed up to it.
No, and I never brought it up again. I just wanted him to know I knew.
Oh, that is fantastic. So we know that this Chiefs-Eagles matchup, we saw it a couple years ago. Do you think there's going to be more faith on the Eagles just because of, obviously, they're different teams, but how they matched up before? Or is this basically the Chiefs to lose, and they're probably going to be the first to three-peat?
Well, I would never bet or pick against Patrick Mahomes. I just don't. And I saw this stat a couple of days ago that Vic Fangio, one of the greatest defensive coordinators ever, is 0-8 against Mahomes. And that was including when he was two different teams that he was with. And so you just can't go against Mahomes. The Eagles' best chance to win is to run the ball like crazy and keep him on the bench and utilize every Jalen Hurts' running ability, everything. One of the things we don't appreciate about the Chiefs, Jim Spagnuolo, the great defensive coordinator, one of the greatest ever, he has great game plans. And when there's clutch situations, he dials up exotic blitzes that they've not shown on tape. He's just brilliant. But they got some really good defensive players. Besides Chris Jones, their great tackle, and George Karlaftis, their best pass rusher, they got a lot of good defensive players, and they play great. And I think they don't want the Eagles to get to the one-yard line for the tush-push because nobody can stop it with Hurts. But there's just no way I'm picking against the Chiefs. And people act like it's such a big deal to win three Super Bowls in a row. And yes, it is. But that's not the only three championships won. Vince Lombardi won five in a row with the Packers. So once they get that one, if they do, then they can start talking about the Packers.
Going to be a fun one for sure. John, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, my pleasure. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great day.
You too. John McClain joining us here on the program as he does every Wednesday at 9:30. And you can find his work at HoustonTexans.com. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.